Patriots fans, Sunday season opener is almost here. Kickoff 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Miami Gardens, Florida, Hard Rock Stadium, Patriots, Dolphins. Who you got in this one, folks? Claire and I will be talking about that today here on the pod. Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
Our Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage, and of course, your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, so download, subscribe to, and follow wherever you get your audio podcasts, and make sure to smash that YouTube subscribe button as we climb toward 1,000 subscribers, and thank you all so much for all of your support of Locked On Patriots. Couldn't do this show without you, and I truly appreciate each and every one of you. Folks, today's episode of Locked On Patriots is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy made easy with 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Pats fans, it is almost time for kickoff. As the late, great Gorilla Monsoon once said, the time for the talk is just about over. I use that phrase a lot, but I love it. And it is very poignant for the beginning of the NFL season. We're kicking off our game preview series here on Locked On Patriots. And joining me to do that is our esteemed friend from West Midlands in the UK. She is a phenomenal writer for Pats Propaganda. She is also the host of one of the more amazing podcasts that you'll find anywhere in sports media. I put her up at the top echelon of the Patriots podcasting realm because, quite simply, folks, she deserves to be there. She is the illustrious Claire, Classy Claire Cooper. Thank you very much for joining me today, Claire, on this game preview episode of Locked On Patriots.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Mike. This is a very exciting game preview. I don't know if we've ever done that here on Locked On with the two of us. So this may be a first. This is very exciting.
I really do believe this is a first for us in terms of game preview. And, you know, due to some scheduling snafus on my end of the coin this week, folks, unfortunately, Claire didn't join us for her normal midweek spot. But you didn't think we were going to let a week go by without hearing the wisdom and counsel of the Countess of Class, the principal of positivity, especially after I am kind of been branded a traitor here for my game prediction earlier this week on the crossover episode with Kyle Krabs of Locked On Dolphins. So I think it's really a good opportunity for our listeners to hear some positivity, some, you know, ray of sunshine. Well, I'm not going to steal your thunder because we're going to talk about exactly what Claire is going to say on this game in just a little bit. But Claire, one of the big items to come from this week in terms of news that doesn't really relate to the game, but sort of does, is the choosing of the Patriots captains. The Patriots choosing 16 captains this year, 2 first-timers, believe it or not, among the group of captains that were chosen by the New England Patriots. Of course, I'm talking about quarterback Mac Jones and defensive end Dietrich Wise Jr. And a lot of people were a little surprised that Dietrich was chosen as a captain. But if you take a look at what he has done on this roster, you look at what he's done in the locker room, not really a big surprise for the New England Patriots to announce him as a team captain. Of course, the 4 incumbents, the guys that have been there before, done that, center David Andrews, linebacker Juwan Bentley, safety Devin McCourty, and special teams ace Matthew Slater. Claire, when you take a look at this list of captains, I know you have your favorites among the team. I know there were no tight endage that were chosen this time around, but there is a possibility for next year. I really do think that you're going to see at least one of those guys maybe get that nod. What are your thoughts on the list of captains for the Patriots? And in terms of leadership this year, does it fill you with a good amount of optimism for the season?
Well, yeah, I need to sort of, we need to get in quickly, get printing those Hunter for 2024 t-shirt, 2023 t-shirts. Sorry, losing us a year there. I did that last week, didn't I? I lost a year last week with the whole 2020 thing. So yeah, Hunter for 2023. Yeah, get your t-shirts branded. But yeah, no, seriously. I mean, I know there was, as you said, Dietrich's Wise was a bit of a sort of semi-puzzlement. Maybe the amount of captains was also something that was, you know, mildly con not concerning, mildly quizzical. I know there are several teams that kind of go in excess when it comes to captains, and I think a lot of it is it's all the internal thing. That's really the point of the captains and sort of the locker room, the banding together of the team. And looking at the team as it is at the moment, you've got quite a considerable amount of rookies, or you've got quite a considerable amount of young guys that haven't been in the system for very long. I mean, you've got the individuals that sort of were here last year, but they didn't really play. So you've got that element of not sort of being on the field, that sort of, you know, that group team mentality on the field sort of thing. So it's, to me, who they chosen was of no concern. It was all very good. It was great that Mac Jones got that place. I think that sort of solidified the certainty in regards to, well, it is his team now. So, you know, let's really brand that it's his team. Granted, it was his team last year, but this time last year, maybe not quite this time last year, but sort of this time last year, it was still the unrest of, is it going to be Cam? Is it going to be Mac? There was all this sharedness until we kind of went in the season. It was Mac Jones and that was it kind of thing. So I think him being a captain just gives that element outside the organization of as well of confidence and sort of certainty that Mac Jones, this is his team and he's going to lead it. Using all the sort of the or utilizing the veterans that they have, it makes sense that it's going to be veterans as captains. And I don't think you can pick, other than Matthew Slater, I don't think when you look at the roster of this team, you can really see a guy that's sort of more in it, has been there sort of for the team, that sort of guy as David Andrews. It was that was a non-starter. I mean, you couldn't really see the list without his name or without Matthew Slater. I think the only sort of individual that you'd look at maybe in that element would be maybe Brian Hoyer for just for his experience and his time within the team. But you can't really have that because you can't really set the tone of two quarterbacks as captain. So I understand sort of the logistical reasons why that wouldn't happen. But in regards to him as a person, him as an individual and him as a guy in the organization, he's definitely a name that sort of you would band about as that kind of captain role. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, no real surprises, no real concerns. As we mentioned, the team's young, although it's still pitted to be one of the oldest teams in the NFL. It still seems as and seem they all seem so young. But no, it's still, you know, it's still kind of a youth heavy team, shall we say, even if the numbers don't show that. And I think some of it was maybe touched upon how with the COVID year it meant that guys were sort of in college for longer, so they it, a lot of the rookies that were signed were a little bit older now than they maybe would have been had we not had those COVID years. So the team still seems young because of that kind of element, although the guys are a little bit older now than they maybe would have been had we not sort of lost some time during the pandemic. So yeah, no real surprises. I don't think there were many people that were kind of shocked or concerned, which is good because it's good that there isn't a reason to be shocked or concerned about the Patriots at the moment, in all fairness. As you mentioned, the Dietrich's Wise thing, I understand that he won, and I really should have done my research better because I haven't got it written in front of me. I understand he won something recently, and I can't for the life of me remember what the award was, but I
The
think
Ron
that's
Burton
probably.
Community Service Award.
Thank you. It's the one thing I admitted to writing down, so I do apologize, folks, for not doing that little bit of
That's
research.
okay.
It wasn't until we hit record and I was like, I forgot to write that bit down. But yeah, I mean, it all shows sort of the confidence in a guy who's sort of solidifying with him within the community. And I think there was talks in regards to how Lawrence Guy, he's in his last year of his deal, and Dietrich's Wise, you know, was kind of given some money within his deal. And there's the behind the scenes things that maybe, but it might all just be hearsay, rumors and whispers. It might just be a case of, well, you know, Lawrence Guy has been a captain before, I believe. So, you know, it gives someone else a turn. You've got these veterans that that can work within the team that know the team. So just gives a little bit of confidence in Dietrich in that respect. So
Right.
looking at the roster, there's a lot of names that you've got that I've got confidence in as a Patriots fan. But when I look at those individuals, they are sort of guys that are either new to the team, even if they're a veteran player as such. Because I mean, the likes of Matthew Judon, you know, he's not a rookie, although he's reasonably new to the team. But
Right.
those sorts of names that you look at that are individuals that you would say, well, you know, he's a dynamic element of the team, an important element of the team. Granted, everybody is, but you see where I'm going with this, folks, that he's not sort of been in the system really long enough for people to have that confidence to put, you know, that captain next to him. And it's not a detriment to him. It's just more you want those captains to be the experienced ones, the ones that have been in the system, the ones that can teach it going forward. And I think that they've utilized individuals, as I quite rightly would have expected them to, individuals that are going to be there, that are going to be the ones to hold the banner, to, you know, to teach the Patriots way and to roll it out going forward throughout the team regardless.
Absolutely. I think you make a great point, especially on the types of players that are chosen for the captainship role, because it goes beyond what players just do on the field. And every one of these guys makes contributions either in the locker room or in the huddle. Obviously, Mac Jones is leading the offense. To have him as a team captain, rookies are never chosen as team captains in the New England Patriots organization. So you knew he wasn't going to be a captain last year, but just seeing the way he commands the huddle, the type of respect that he has amongst his teammates, wasn't a surprise to see him chosen. You mentioned the big three on this list, obviously Devin McCourty, David Andrews, Matthew Slater. These guys have seen it all, they've done it all, they've done it all in the community, they've done it all on the field. They need that type of veteran leadership there as well. Dietrich winning the Ron Burton Award, I think, really was a springboard for him to be able to get this role because you hear all the time about guys, especially the new players and the rookies, that talk about what a presence Dietrich is in the locker room. And he truly is. He's not just the presence on the locker room, but also a very key cog in that front seven. So I was happy to see him do that. And then, of course, the forgotten man in all this is Juwan Bentley. Bentley was a
True.
team
Yeah,
captain in
sorry.
2020. No, and I don't say that for you. I say that for pretty much anybody that's out there. When you think about team captains, Bentley is probably the last guy that you think about that was chosen. But he did get the nod in 2020. He comes back in 2022 after Dont'a Hightower takes over that role. Goes to show you just how much respect he has in that locker room for him to not get the captainship last year out of respect for Dont'a Hightower, but Hightower's gone and he slides right back into the role.
The one thing that I would like to mention, and I think that it's just sort of come out looking at the names, kind of sitting here constantly looking at names, is the fact that there's only two offensive captains, if you like. And considering the, shall we say, unrest on the offense, the changes, the changes of the coaching staff, you know, all that kind of thing. I suppose I'm mildly, only mildly surprised that they maybe didn't throw another offensive guy in there. Granted, it goes back to my initial point of you're looking at young guys and you're looking at guys that haven't been in the system for, you know, maybe for that long, maybe a year, that sort of thing. And captains, it's important to have, as I already mentioned, you know, the veterans that can roll out the Patriots way, you know, to really ingrain it into the newbies, if you like. But I suppose in hindsight, taking a step back and looking at it's sort of this is the year that you maybe would have expected another offensive captain to help sort of solidify or bring together or, you know, all those kind of cliches and phrases because of the sort of the unrest that they have had, if you like, for want of a better term. But then again, on the flip side, you look at all the names on the offense, and you haven't really got many guys that have been really there for very long, or significantly. And you've got rookies, and you've got, you know, dudes that are sort of new to the team in regards to Thornton and stuff, even the running back. So maybe Damian Harris. He's you know, he's had his time. He's a veteran. If you wanted that extra offensive captain, maybe
Right.
he, you know, maybe he would have ticked the boxes in regards to experience, knowledge within the system, that kind of thing. So maybe that's something to that's mildly surprised me. Now I've sort of chewed it over and mulled it over, that there's one less offensive captain maybe than you maybe would accept, but it's all just a little bit of a bit of a this and a bit of that kind of thing. They've definitely picked us, as we've already said, veterans that know the way and can be there as that solid the solidity in the team. So
Yeah, absolutely. I think you make a good point about maybe carrying another captain on offense. Patriots carried six captains in 2021. Bringing into the 2022 season, I think they would have carried six captains had James White not retired. I think he would have been the guy on the running back list that would have gotten that honor. He's had it in the past. He's definitely one of the most respected guys amongst the organization, was one of the most in that locker room, even this year during training camp, even though James was not very active on the field, just him being around the guys and teaching them and you know, imparting that wisdom, that counsel would have definitely done it. I think you can make the argument for Damian. I think he would have made a great captain in that regard. Keep in mind that there is some uncertainty regarding his contract heading into
This is
2023.
true as
So,
well.
you know, so there's all different factors that do roll into that. But I agree with you when it comes to offense, that is a concern. And folks, there may be concerns for the New England Patriots as they head into tomorrow's game at Miami Gardens at Hard Rock Stadium. The Patriots kick off the season opener. And we will discuss that in a moment when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, folks, remember today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Let me tell you how Prize Picks works. You pick 2 to 5 players. If they will go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're not competing with any other people. It's just you versus the projections available. And Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, PGA Tour Golf, college football, men's and women's college basketball, WNBA, disc golf, boxing, anything you can think of, they've got a bead on it. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. That's right, folks. It's simply that easy. They're safe, they're fast, the withdrawals are safe and fast, and currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. And if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you 50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com. Patriots fans, the illustrious Clazzy Claire Cooper, the principal of positivity, the countess of class, and of course, the empress of tight endage joins us here today to discuss the New England Patriots taking on the Miami Dolphins, the season opener, week one, 2022. Claire, it's been a long road, but we've got here, and now we are on the brink of getting to the New England Patriots season. Been a long off season, a tumultuous off season for a lot of reasons in New England, but at the same time, there are games to be played, and there will be a game played this Sunday. I know the fans right now are a little uneasy on what this team is capable of. You look at the first game of the season, and naturally, your first reaction is that's what they're going to look like all year long. Most of the fan base is very savvy to realize that the opening game of the season tells you very little about where the Patriots are going to be at the end of the season. But we know from personal experience that no matter what happens on Sunday, these results are going to be analyzed, they're going to be scrutinized, and they're going to be sensationalized. All three of those. I know you love your alliteration. I had to throw that in. But that's exactly what's going to happen. Everybody is going to overreact to what they see, whether it be positive or whether it be negative. You being the principal of positivity, I thought it might be fun to put you on the hot seat a little bit today. When you look at the Pats Dolphins matchup, both sides, offensive, defensive, is there something that concerns the Countess of Claz at this point? Looking at the game, looking at the way the Patriots and the Dolphins match up, what can we expect to see on the field? And what's going to be catching your sharp eye when you watch this game on Sunday?
Well, first of all, concerns, unfortunately, yes, And I will get back to that in a moment, but I just wanted to touch on spoiler alert, folks. If you haven't seen the Bills Rams game, then put your fingers in your ears for a second, because this is very much like an example of what you said, the overreaction at the beginning of the season. The Bills blitz the Rams, and now that's it. The Bills are Super Bowl champions, and we've had one game, one single game. 2022 has barely dipped its little toe in the sea of the season, and that's it. We're ready. We're done. The Bills are the win. So, yeah, of course, massive overreaction. So, to that feat, yes, when we have this game on Sunday, there's going to be, as you said, sort of the mass hysteria either way, really. But that's what fanatics are, isn't it? So, my concerns when it comes to the game itself, it has to go back to something that I think we've talked about for quite a while. So I hate to sound a little bit like a broken record, but it's the offensive line. It's the rotation, the carousel of fitting guys in, and then there's the unrest of the kind of the guy who's been moved to left tackle, not happy that he's not getting left tackle money, and the guy that's now right tackle, not apparently not happy about being right tackle. And it's like, I just want the offensive line to be kind of sorted, for want of a, for want of a better word, just to be sorted. I get that you're always going to have weaknesses in parts of your team. No team in the NFL right now is 100% fantastic from top to bottom. Everybody's got a weakness because it's a sport, for a go, in regards to that. But I just want it to kind of be settled. Even if it's settled with, we've got a concern with this player, or, we have an injury, it just feels like they need to know who and to be banded together as brothers and sort of know what they're doing. I just want there to be no unrest in the offensive line. And I mean, the thing is, what sort of the trauma that is hitting me is last year when we went into the season, there was injuries and stuff, so we had an offensive line carousel, and at the beginning it kind of looked all over the place, and I just don't want to have that other season of the repeating these sort of mistakes because of that. So Max in his second year, they there was the concerns of him being a rookie in his first year being unprotected. It's now a guy that's your franchise quarterback, that you want to utilize for as many years as possible, the next 20, shall we say, to be crazy. But you need to look after him. So he needs a good offensive line, and he's in, unfortunately, a new offensive coaching system. There's all that going on kind of in the back of his mind, if you like. So the one thing that would be good to help sort of stabilize it would be to have your offensive line be nice and solid. And I just think for me at the moment, that's my biggest concern, is getting those guys happy, in place, working well together, protecting Mac. And that is the thing that I am most worried about at the moment. Of course, like every other fan in the NFL, there's the concerns of, does Mac have enough weapons? Is he going to get the ball out? Is the defense going to be strong enough against this fast guy, that fast guy? There's all these things, because there's all these things in the NFL, but as the NFL evolves, as a sport as it is. But to just to put a pinpoint on something specific for the Patriots, I think for me, if you're asking me to just choose one, I think I'm choosing the offensive line. Like everyone else, there's the concerns with the coaching. However, as a fan, I've always sort of taken a step back and thought, well, you know what? I mean, I can't play the game anyway, but coaching, it feels so much beyond my reach. There's no way that I could even contemplate what these guys have to deal with, what these guys know, how much they know. There's no way that I can look at it and sort of contradict anything. So you just sort of feel like, even if it comes across maybe mildly as a kind of putting a blanket over my head or a head in the sand kind of thing, I have faith that they're going to figure it out. And I'm not trying to be a big, oh, in Bill we trust, like cheerleader, although technically I do, because he's got the experience. I think it's more a case of these guys there know. They know this sport, regardless of if you think he was a good head coach, regardless of if the numbers say he was a good head coach, that sort of thing. They're not going to be in these roles if they only know a little bit. It's not like they're going to put me in one of these roles and be like, right, okay. You can't make a comparison like that. These guys know this sport inside out and upside and down. So, yes, whilst there are the concerns of we don't know who's going to be the play callers, we don't think Matt Patricia's a good offensive mind or something, all these things that are being said, sort of thing. At the end of the day, for me personally, my perspective, my opinion as a fan is they do know what they're doing. Maybe they're struggling to sort it all out at the moment, but I have faith that they wouldn't be in these positions if they couldn't do that, if they couldn't, iron it all out. So yes, whilst there's the mild of, oh, we don't know what's going on with the coaching, and I suppose I feel like the concerns maybe are, yeah, I'm kind of maybe have them as like a shadow effect from other fans. It's kind of a roll out to me that I'm thinking, oh, well, I know that everybody else is concerned about it. So, maybe it's something that I'd be aware of. But generally, from my perspective, it isn't the coaching. I think they're going to get it solved. I think we're going to see it all settle down and it be what we would expect Patriots coaching to be. Granted, it might take a few games, and I think we can all give them the patience of that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to an actual concern with the team, it's the offensive line. It's, something needs to be done. And, maybe that goes back to the coaching, the lack of, there's no Scarnecchia away there anymore. And that may be the key. And that's going to be a key, something that, we're not really going to know from the outside in. But at the minute, it just like the guys aren't gelling, and you've got guys with unrest, as I said, the contracts and things like this. He doesn't feel like he's being paid enough, even though, because he moved positions that would earn more. I think it's just those guys just need to all be happy and work together really well. And I just think that's something that's difficult to get over very, very quickly. And I think that's the trouble now, is the season is upon us. The season is tomorrow. You just hope that they've had that time, that they've had that situation to be able to move on, band together and be the offensive line that they need to be in front of Mac.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a concern when it comes to the Patriots offense. There's no question about it. Look, there are times in training camp and there are times in the preseason where this offensive line did not look like it was moving well laterally. It looked like they were having difficulty protecting Mac and really picking up that coverage that comes from those second and third level blitzes that gave Mac such a problem last year. Miami is watching those tapes. They know what gave Mac fits last year, and they're going to try to do it. They will definitely try to get after the quarterback on Sunday. And that's something that the offensive line has to be ready for, because if you give Mac the time, then I do believe he has the weapons. You mentioned weapons earlier. I know they're not the weapons that are probably going to make SportsCenter highlights or the little bits that go out there on Twitter. But when you have receivers like DeVante Parker, like Jakobi Meyers, like a Nelson Aguilar that's capable of breaking for a big play, and then you have a couple of tight ends that are capable of making catches as well, and Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. See how I did that? I knew she was going to love that, folks. I knew it, and that's why I had to drop it in. But seriously, that they deserve to be in the
No,
conversation
seriously,
because they're going to be a part of that as well. So if he can start picking his targets, Mac Jones all of a sudden can start making things happen against this defense, which don't forget is going to be missing Byron Jones. Nick Needham at the cornerback position is dinged up. Xavien Howard is a dynamic corner, but he's one man. If the Patriots can attack weak sides of that Dolphin secondary, they might be able to make things happen. Might be wishful thinking because the Dolphins defense, I do believe, is as good, if not better, than it was last year. They're going to have their hands full. My concern in this game is whether or not the secondary is up to the challenge on defense. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be airing the ball out, folks. I know a lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe in his arm. They don't believe in anything. And I took a little flack earlier this week for what people thought was a criticism of Tua, which really wasn't. It was a criticism of the coverage, the way people absorb information, and saying that Tua is going to be 4-0 against Bill Belichick, but Mac Jones deserves no credit. It was simply my way of kind of saying how stupid the argument is on both sides. Tua deserves the credit for those wins, not 100% of it, whereas Mac Jones deserves credit for the Patriots' success, but not 100%. But conversation for a different day. Tua Tagovailoa is going to test that secondary, especially without JC Jackson or a shutdown corner in that realm. Can Jonathan Jones step up? Because for everyone thinking that Tyreek Hill is going to be in a track meet this weekend, I just want to give you a few statistics that we were able to pull here with regard to Jonathan Jones when he's covered Tyreek in four matchups that the Patriots have had with the Chiefs, and Jonathan Jones has been in on coverage. He's allowed 7 catches on 14 targets. He's allowed 93 yards total with no touchdowns. He's had one pass breakup and a 71.4 passer rating allowed. That's actually pretty good numbers against a dynamic receiver like Tyreek Hill. Now, granted, this is when Jonathan is helping out. He's kind of filling in the slot. He's doing a little bit of perimeter work, but not a ton. If he's going to have to get some of that going, it's going to be very, very difficult for Tyreek to be able to find his rhythm. So if Jonathan is able to isolate him, that's going to be what the Patriots, I think, this game comes down to. Can Miami's other weapons around him, can guys like Cedric Wilson at the wide receiver position, Jalen Waddle, who is going to be active for this game, that new running attack that they've got with Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds, can they get the game going? If they can, and the Patriots can isolate Tyreek Hill, I think the Dolphins have an excellent chance of winning this game. But if the Patriots can really disrupt them by isolating Hill and it throws their game plan off, that's their opportunity to attack. So that's my concern. Is the secondary up to the challenge? Jalen Mills, Jonathan Jones, a lot of youngsters, a lot of youth back there, but not a whole lot of experience.
Right.
Folks, it is almost that time. Claire and I have almost tipped our hand, but we haven't quite done it just yet. We wrap up this episode of Locked On Patriots with Claire's game perspective, her game prediction, and I'm going to throw in mine as well for good measure, just in case you weren't sick enough of hearing it. We continue with Locked On Patriots in just a moment. Pats fans, the illustrious Glazzy Claire Cooper has done us the honor of joining us here on this special weekend game day preview episode. Claire, we've talked a lot about concerns. We talked a little bit about team captains. I think that lends itself quite nicely into who is going to help the Patriots succeed on the field. But we've reached that time of the show where it's all about the prediction. It is all about what's going to happen in this game. We have to look into our Belichickian crystal ball. I have to get a Belichickian crystal ball. I don't have one, folks, but I need one. I need one. I can go like this. It'll be good. You know, that's it. You know. No, see, I don't have the smoothness to pull that off. Me, I shake too much. I'll be like, yeah. So that's a little bit more of what that I'm not going to say it. I'm just not going to say it. Claire,
we need to work with the graphic department so we can put one in.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of with that little shimmy. But folks, we are going off the rails here, and we have to get back on because kickoff is just about to happen, depending on when you're listening to this. Claire, when we look at this game and we look at the positives, the negatives, the ups, the downs, where Miami is as opposed to where New England is and vice versa, what happens on the field on Sunday? Who comes out on top in this matchup in week one?
See, I just think it's so difficult to predict this first game because all we're looking at is preseason stuff. And if you go on the Patriots preseason stuff, it's a little bit like, oh, not too sure about that kind of thing. So I think it's unfair to have to predict the first game of the season simply because we just don't really know what we're going to see, particularly with how there's been injuries, how there's unrest on the offensive line, as we've talked about. So I want to sit on the fence and be like, yeah, we can't predict this because it's just too difficult. And technically, it really is. However, I mean, we've already discussed how Miami have got speed, how the Patriots have got kind of issues on the offensive line, the concerns with the secondary. There's lots to sort of be worried about. And then they could go out and completely smash everything that we've discussed and just make this whole show look like just complete, to be fair. Let's hope so, shall we? So, I mean, I looked at predicting like the scores for this game, and I mentioned on, I think it was One Patriots Place on Tuesday when we had the lovely Scott from the South Tribune. My score at the time was 24-16, but I didn't really like it. And bless him, Joel, who was also a big fan of Locked On Patriots, he had a wonderful score of 21 Patriots, 20 Dolphins, which I really did quite like, although that makes it a very close game. I felt that that was, you know, quite a realistic guess. And then I've even gone down to 17 Patriots, 16 Dolphins. So the Patriots fan in me can't quite get there to say, I think the Dolphins are going to win. However, I wouldn't be shocked, like no one else would be, if they did. In all fairness, I'd be very disappointed, obviously, but I wouldn't be particularly shocked. But I'm not very good as a Patriots fan at least predicting it. So, yeah, I think it's going to be close. That's what I'm predicting. It's going to be a close game, and I really want the Patriots to win. I think they might just eke it out because after everything that's been talked about, and I know what you said in regards to Tua, and I'm not trying to hate on him, don't get me wrong, but I think that maybe he's going to crumble a bit. This is the year that Belichick squishes him.
From your lips to the football god's ears in Foxborough, without any question. Countess, you are definitely the principle of positivity, and I appreciate that. I do think that the Patriots, look, folks, I know I predicted a 24-17 Patriots loss to the Dolphins on Sunday. There are a couple of reasons for
Oh,
that. They have. There are a couple of
harsh.
reasons for that. But I will say this. The Patriots, this is not an unwinnable game for the New England Patriots by any stretch of the
No.
imagination. They can do it if they do a couple of things that really are the bread and butter of the way the Patriots do business. Control the
Yeah.
clock, use the running game to your advantage, keep Miami off the field offensively as much as possible, keep that explosive offense from getting on track. That's one side. Then you take a look at Mac Jones. That gives him the opportunity to spread the ball around a little bit. And that's something that he can do very well. If he's utilizing hitting his receivers, he can get into stride. The last thing that you have to do, like you said, with Tua Tagovailoa, because he knows all of the stuff that's being said about him and his arm. He's going to want to show that off to Cedric Wilson, to Tyreek Hill, show that he can hit the deep ball and hit those passes. You have to force Tua to hold on to the football and put him under pressure. That's something that may not be as easy, but the Patriots can exploit that a little bit. If they can exploit that a little bit, then they do have a chance to win this game. So I'm not backing down from my prediction, folks, earlier, but just know that this is not anything that is going to be an insurmountable goal for the New England Patriots. They very much can win this game if they play their game correctly.
And keep kind of the laundry tight because penalties, yellow flags, there's just been too many in the preseason. So, you know, get rid of that laundry, as I think Murph likes to say. So yeah, the penalties get tight when it comes to things like that. Don't give them the game. It's one thing if the Patriots lose a tight game because they were outplayed by Miami, sorry. That's one thing. But if they give Miami the game in respects of too many silly penalties and stuff like that, I think that's definitely a harder pill to swallow as a Patriots fan, even if it is the first game of the season.
Yeah, I believe that you're absolutely right on that. And look, when a Bill Belichick coach team struggles, it's usually because of self-inflicted mistakes. And there's no bigger self-inflicted mistake on a Bill Belichick team than penalties or losing control of the football. You have to protect the football. Last year against Miami, that should have been a win against Miami in the opening game. And because of poor football protection and fumbleitis that really happened throughout the entire game for New England, they fell to the Miami Dolphins, and that's a game they should not have lost. So, bottom line, folks, protect the football, run the football. New England Patriots might be in good shape here. So, you know what? Maybe all of this will prove me wrong. And we thank the principal of positivity, the Countess of Class, for coming on and lending a little bit of positivity to your pregame activities. Folks, we always appreciate you taking the time out to join us here on Locked On Patriots. Countess, I am always honored. I am always humbled by your presence. So please, folks, do yourself a favor. Follow the Countess of Klaz on Twitter at Klazzy Claire, as you can see right there on your screen. For those of you listening, it's Klazzyclare. And also, don't ever miss an episode of A Claire Perspective, a Patriots podcast. Some of the best work that you will find anywhere. I strongly encourage you, if you have not done so yet, please check out Claire's amazing three-part series on women in sports, women in the NFL. It truly is amazing. Her interviews with Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald, Erica Tamposi of NFL, and also Dr. Jess Flynn of the Boston Sports Journal is some of the greatest insight that you'll receive anywhere. So please check that out. I highly recommend it. And of course, the best recap in the business on PatsPropaganda.com coming your way sometime on Monday, because don't forget, folks, there is a time difference. So give Claire a little bit of slack on that, but she will be on that. And I tell you, it's the most entertaining in the business, bar none.
Thanks ever so much, Mike. Thanks for having me. So, yeah, go Pats.
Absolutely. On that note, we say go Pats, folks. And I also thank you all for taking time out to make Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. On behalf of the illustrious Claire Classy Claire Cooper, I'm Mike DeBate. Stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.